You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
The Around the NFL podcast was not the oldest person at Coachella. Blondie was there too. Thank you very much.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler here. And yes, the time has come. I liken this to the particularly high-profile Aaron Rodgers appearances on the Pat McAfee show when suddenly you're hosting a much larger audience than typical. So we welcome music fans right now. And the time has come now for Mark Sessler's review of Frank Ocean's controversial weekend closing set at Coachella. Greg, I think the right move here is for us to just kind of get out of the way and let Mark monologue this and take us through boots on the ground. Mark, there's a huge global audience here right now.
Yeah.
Pins and needles for days. They waited on Monday, were surprised and disappointed. Now they're back. The floor is yours.
I could give you a more comprehensive review of Snail Mail, which was occurring during the daytime. I had a very atypical, strange weekend. It was wonderful, but I didn't stay for the latest stuff night after night.
Wait, but we've planned out
the
20 more minutes.
I know, but like
20
like
more minutes of your monologue
but the
is
way
on
to,
schedule.
The way to actually set up a segment like this would be to check with me on what I actually witnessed and saw with my own eyes, because you knew that was probably...
Well, certainly you listened on Monday, and he really built this up. So.
I thought Bad Bunny was amazing. Did you see any of that?
Like, I did
not. He brought out Post Malone, and there was a massive technical glitch that caused problems among the people there live. It was... I don't know if you've been, but it was fun.
I've never been.
It was one of my main goals was to avoid like a dangerous sunburn, which I partially did, I believe.
Congrats. So, and I'm a big Snail Mail fan, so I like the shout out. I've seen them.
They were
seen
she
her
was great.
A few times live.
So for the Frank Ocean audience.
Yeah.
We don't have
I think
anything.
isn't it like sort of on brand that I would go to this and not come back with like the you and I might have different goals when we'd go there. And I maybe missed some of the things that would have been high on your list.
So did you go?
It was late night. You were saying that they went till 1 in the morning every night. You didn't
he
stay till 1
down,
in the morning
Ocean.
Every time.
Late.
It's been a lot of reporting since then. There was supposed to be an ice skating rink, all these people that they had hired. And then
didn't see an ice skating
rink.
Right,
no. He
Frank Ocean suffered an ankle injury on a bike on the Coachella grounds. Did you catch that or any of that?
No, so what I did was like went around like 10, 11 in the morning, because it is so crowded that if you go during the day, everything is wide open. And so I'd do more like 10 to 8, 8 or 9, and then went back and watched some of the later stuff on a live YouTube feed.
Would you go back?
Absolutely, because I think next time I'd know how to attack it completely differently. I was a total newbie early.
What are your feelings on the youth of America? Like, is the future bright?
I think it's fantastically bright.
Question.
People were great. I was not the oldest person, by the way. There are definitely other people floating around of my age set. But, I would say it would be unquestionably in the older rung of ages.
All right. Justin, did you have anything before we move on?
Oh, shoot. You caught me off guard. No. I hope Mark had a great time.
I mean, who is this even talking? I don't even know.
Mark, did you have fun? That's all that really counts.
I had a wonderful time. I'm sorry I cannot give you a completest review on each of the acts. You know,
No sweat.
No, I mean, I floated.
We built it up. We got the audience.
Yeah.
And they learned the hard lesson here.
I think they did. Yeah. So did I. Next time, I'm going to be more cautious on my return.
Coming up today on Around the NFL. Oh, my God. Jesus, take the wheel. Take us to draft night. We're not there yet. We got more. We got more draft talk coming up. But we're lucky to have someone that's excellent in this realm, and really the NFL overall in terms of coverage, Ben Solak from The Ringer. We're going to have him on to talk about some of the kind of outliers and some of the oddities of the 2023 NFL draft. It's kind of a weird draft, especially in like the measurables department.
I think he also explains it really what he means by that and what it means for the future of the draft too is intriguing.
These are human beings. So we're going to change the, you know, we're not going to call it the freaks of the draft, but it's kind of like, you know, who's a little
different. I kind of like that headline.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that.
That's a pretty good sort of what they are.
Specimens. Physical specimens.
Yeah, guys who stand out a little bit. Maybe we haven't hit as hard.
What about physical specimens?
Yeah.
You want just freaks.
That sounds like it's something I can attest to.
The freak show that is the 2023 NFL draft. Look away, freaks.
Yeah, this is a showman right here.
Look away, slammer. Freaks of the 2023 NFL draft. Not bad.
I think it's you've got something to sing with there.
They're hideous, Colin. All right, before that, let's hit some news.
Purdy back. Time. Pumps. Now going to throw for the end zone. Wide open. Brandon Ayuk. Touchdown! San Francisco! Ayuk! Ayuk! Ayuk is on fire!
Yeah, so is Brock Purdy.
Oh! Monsters, comma, all of them, colon, breaking down the 2023 NFL draft.
You're a storehouse of concepts.
Brock Purdy, he took the league by storm late in the most recent NFL season. Mr. Irrelevant, as he's known, the final pick in the draft, stepped in at quarterback for the Niners after injuries to Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo and thrived. And although he suffered a serious elbow injury in the NFC playoffs, the Niners are very high on Purdy and see him as the future of the position, which takes us to a report from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on Wednesday, who said that the Niners have fielded calls from teams interested in trading for Trey Lance. Rappaport added the Niners have not actually picked up the phone themselves to dial up any teams, but they have answered the phone when teams have inquired about his availability. Mm. Ian added, no trade is imminent, but, you know, those things can change quickly. And they want to make sure Purdy's rehab is going well, but there's interest in Lance from other teams. Mark, you're back, so I'll tee you up. I know you are a big Purdy guy.
Big 49ers guy, sneaky.
Big 49ers guy. And Trey Lance was once the future. They traded up a huge amount of capital to get him. And this is the first kind of open sign that they might be looking to kind of cut ties and move on.
I wouldn't be surprised if something like this happened. I think the big problem PR-wise for a rather Teflon John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. I mean, extremely. Like, they haven't really needed Trey Lance over these past couple years. They've still gotten deep into the playoffs. Is after you gave up so much on a quarterback that has essentially barely been able to be on the field, it looks like today as a big of a quarterback whiff as you could find. And somehow that stink doesn't really stick to Kyle Shanahan and company. What do you get back for him? Because it's like there's no way for them to win that battle. And it's like, yes, you're at that point gauging and hoping that the small sample size you got from Brock Purdy is who he really is, because just the league is going to catch up. And it makes me think of our friend Chris Wessling, when we got that six-game sample size from Jimmy G after they traded for Jimmy G a couple years ago, and he looked like the second coming of Joe Montana, and then we got the real version of him, which was much more variable. Mm. Do you do all this, and do you go into next season after quarterback depth has been their issue year after year? Do you possibly move on Trey Lance and then go into next season with that quarterback position being like Brock Purdy or bust?
It's Purdy, and then right now, Sam Darnold. Greg, let me tee you up just by reminding people what they gave up to get Trey Lance. They traded with the Dolphins right before the 2021 draft. They got the number 3 pick in exchange for the number 12 pick that year, the first and third round pick in 2022, and a first round pick this year. So they paid dearly to get this guy.
Right, it was essentially a similar trade to what the Panthers just gave up to get number 1 overall. That's what it cost. 2 extra firsts and then the extra pick, and you still gave up, you know, the trade down in that draft. And we haven't seen him play. He's had 132 snaps dropping back to pass in the NFL, and half of them were in a monsoon. And so people like to throw out Lance's numbers. In that game, I watched that game. It was just
forget about it.
It was a preposterous game. And the other times, though, he hasn't looked totally ready to go in terms of his little regular season action, made a couple nice plays, his preseason action. You know, he's looked like a guy who needed development, which isn't surprising for a guy who didn't play that much in college and played at North Dakota State. I think you don't worry about what you get back if it's, like, reasonable. I mean, the Lions just traded Jeff Okuda, who was the number 3 overall pick in the draft. One draft after Lance or one draft before him, like the exact same, you know, level, and they got a 5th-round pick back, and you move on. If they could get, like, a second for Trey Lance, I think they would take it. And I think the fact that Ian is reporting this and the way you framed it, Dan, I think was smart. The way Ian reported this makes you think, like, this is very much like the 49ers a year ago putting out similar reports that they're getting offers about Jimmy G. Now, maybe history is instructive there. Nothing ever happened. But it really feels like it's the 49ers who are putting up a little bit of a for sale sign here on Trey Lance, which would tend to make you think it spells the end of him.
This is fantasy. It's fugazi. It's... But there is, like, logic to that 2021 NFL draft, which started with Trevor Lawrence and moved to Zach Wilson, then to Trey Lance, top 3. Mac Jones taken 7 or 8 picks after that. God, Trey Lance for Mac Jones? Doesn't that make some sense? Trey Lance for Zach Wilson? I don't know. Like
Fields, well, was Fields.
Oh, Fields was in there too.
Yeah, and then Mac Jones at 15.
Right. So, I mean, that was when you look at that, obviously Lawrence is a hit. Zach Wilson is a bust right now. Trey Lance is, you know, trending toward bust, but he still hasn't played enough. Justin Fields, the Bears think that's a big hit. And Mac Jones is this big question mark. I just wonder what Trey Lance's market is, because the things that he has working for him that, for instance, the Jets don't have with Zach Wilson, who I'm sure they would like to trade if they could, is Zach Wilson played a fair amount and not only showed that he was injury prone, he showed that he wasn't playing at a high level and then handled some things poorly with the media. Lance is still kind of a mystery on some level.
Yeah, I mean, I think also the Mac Jones thing is interesting because obviously there's some connective tissue to Kyle Shanahan. I don't know how Zach Wilson would ever be involved in a trade for Trey Lance. I think you can still look at Trey Lance and say, untapped potential. There's a lot teams think they probably could do with him. There are tools there. He just had extremely light college experience and has extremely light NFL experience. So it's an unknown. I had a team that stands out, though, to me a little bit because it keep feel like we are hearing that the Texans are not interested in maybe taking a quarterback at number 2. You've got D'Amico Ryans, who knows Trey Lance. You got Bobby Slowick, their new offensive coordinator, who was the passing game coordinator under Shanahan and worked closely with Lance. They'd at least know what they think they're dealing with, and you could get them for cheap and then use those first-round picks to make your team better.
That could make some sense. Like, the Titans could make some sense. I mean, I don't doubt in any way Ian's reporting. So he's saying that they're fielding calls, and he's clear to point out they're not making them. Mm. Now, if you're Trey Lance reading this reporting, I don't know if you are that invested in the parenthetical that they're not making them. I think you see these reports and you're not too excited about it if you're Trey Lance. But I don't doubt that teams are making those calls. And I'm sure those calls are like, how low is this price, essentially? Because right. I'm sure a team like the Titans would take on Trey Lance if the price was like a compensatory 3rd-round pick. I doubt it's that low. And it's figuring out during the draft, how low will the 49ers go? Like the Lions, for instance, again, with the number three pick, I know it was a cornerback and is 1 year older. They basically were just ready to give away Jeff Okuda no matter what. They had decided that. Allen Robinson, who we'll talk about later. The Rams were going to give him away no matter what. I don't think the 49ers are at that point. I think they're closer to where they were with Jimmy G a year ago, which is if they don't get the right price, and I'm just going to guess a two sounds about right for them, then maybe they just hold on to him one more year and see what happens as a backup, because it's too late. His peak value is gone. It reminds me a little of another Trey with the Hawks, Trey Young right now. It's like the value, it's too late for it to trade
Trey
Young. Different sport. I know it's not the same as the NFL, but in some ways
football
it's similar.
Is completely different than basketball. In that case, it may not be.
Maybe yeah. Not.
It really makes those, like if you were betting.
Trey Cool of Green Day, you know, his value was higher maybe in 2004. Now, what are you going to get?
I'm just saying that if you had like bet of all the possible Mark drops, that things he said. It's kind of bizarre. That's the one that's been hammered the most on this podcast.
It's got legs. Legs for days. Last thought before we move on, because we got to move, because we got Solak coming up. Butterfly effect, dog. Like, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. They had no intentions of playing him. And now you fast forward a few months, half a year, and he is their locked and loaded future right now, they think. They let Jimmy G go. They're going to trade potentially the number 2-3 pick from a couple years ago. And then it's Sam Darnold who's backing up Brock Purdy. It's like there's a lot invested in Purdy being the real deal now
Sam
in San Francisco.
Darnold.
Unless there's something else up San Francisco's sleeve. Let's move on. Yes, Allen Robinson, he is on the move. I was a little surprised that they found a taker, the Los Angeles Rams. But then you look at the trade terms and it's like, okay. The Steelers acquire wide receiver Allen Robinson, who was really pretty terrible, let's face it, with the Rams and his 1 year there. So the Steelers get Robinson and a seventh-round pick from the Rams for a seventh-round pick, and this is important as well, Greggy. Los Angeles will pay $10.25 million of Robinson's $15.25 million salary.
Yikes.
And they get to move up 17 spots in the draft. Still,
17 spots in the seventh round. There lower total. I mean, that anyone can be traded for.
Can I
that's
just say,
that's
like,
it.
You know, it's not a big deal, but I feel like the Steelers lose this trade. They move
Stop.
Up 17 picks in the seventh round. Who gives an F? And you're paying Allen Robinson $5 million this year? Allen Robinson's a $5 million player right now?
I don't think that's a crazy risk-reward scenario.
Yeah. That was some pretty bad tape last year. And he was pretty bad with Chicago the year before that.
Yeah.
I guess that's a fair enough point. Like, who else is making around that much money this year? Paris Campbell signed in free agency. He's making around that. Okay. Darius Slayton for the Giants is in.
Give me those guys. But I see your point.
He's a third. He's going to be their third receiver. They were very thin after Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. He's a little too similar to Pickens in me. Like, there's not that many of those guys out there. And so there was a huge drop-off after their top two, so he would be their third receiver. It doesn't seem like a crazy gamble, but you're right. It probably won't really result in more than,
check
like,
out the graybeards,
500 yards.
What wide receivers are still left?
Like, I mean, he averaged 34 yards per game over the last two seasons. So you're right. That Chicago year felt like it was a mail-in job. And last year, I mean, we were, you know, going into September – coming out of Rams camp with the most flowery reporting around Allen Robinson possible, and he completely flatlined. And it now with what they've traded him for, it looks like a complete disaster.
So here are, if we're looking for depth for Pittsburgh, I'll use the Greybeards, my team of 30 and over veterans. Odell Beckham, off the board. Jarvis Landry, still out there, right?
Yeah. Yep. Would you rather have Jarvis Landry?
T.Y. Hilton, still out there. Julio Jones, still out there. Randall Cobb. Robbie Chosen Anderson is off the market now. Sammy Watkins. Anyway, these are other options. Probably you can get it at a cheaper cost. But I guess you can look, you could squint and say maybe, and the Steelers are good with wide receivers, they can unlock something in Robinson that wasn't there last couple of years.
I mean, they're not asking him to be number one. So
I guess I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to go nuts slamming him when he's making, like, a little more than Byron Pringle and Nelson Aguilar. That's sort of the level they're at. But you're right. The Rams were, I guess, just happy for anyone to pay any of his salary, which is telling. They just wanted to total. They just were paying to give him away, which is crazy.
You know, he appeared on our
show. $10 million to give him away.
He appeared on our show during Corona.
Yeah.
And his career went off completely off the map very soon after. I'm not saying that they're related, but it's just a warning to players in general. If you were to appear on the show, like, the future is a mystery.
Pretty
for you.
Bad segment with Allen over
a lot of Wi-Fi
summer.
Issues.
At the Rams camp as well.
Well,
some a lot of noise being picked up by
well,
the
right.
Powerball
Aaron Donald was right next door yeah. with our friend Ricky Eric. Hollywood making a lot of noise over the loudspeaker, and Allen Robinson was disrupted. That might have been where it changed.
I'm not going to point fingers, and I know especially after the last show with Justin, but Gravedigger, that was a bit of a test for you at Rams camp last summer when Ricky was alpha dogging that and doing this loudspeaker interview with Aaron Donald. Like, you could have went over there and pulled the plug on that interview so we could have gotten better Allen Robinson sound. The ship has sailed, but that's all.
Sorry about that. I guess I really dropped the ball there, but it was cool to see Ricky out there just doing her thing, talking to Aaron Donald, you know?
But do you think that...
Somebody answered some Justin. It's like a PR flag. But Erica is a wonderful former colleague of mine and a friend. It was good to see her.
So you don't...
She had like, Daniel Jeremiah on her podcast the other day, put that on the ATN
fire.
Story. Yeah. So just,
nice.
You know,
very good.
Shouting her out.
We
it's
love
cool.
Ricky. We love Ricky.
Went to Australia.
She did. Mm-hmm. Killed it. She tried out as a Rams cheerleader recently. I haven't heard the results of the tryout. We'll have to check in with
I think
her.
Pending.
She saw Taylor Swift in Tampa. I know that's an important thing for her. If Taylor Swift closed Sunday night at Coachella, are you watching?
Absolutely.
In other news, this is cool. This is very cool. Damar Hamlin, he plans on making a comeback in the NFL, and he got into more detail in a press conference. His quote, "I'm here to announce that I plan on making a comeback to the NFL," he told reporters. He's 25 years old. Of course, he had that really horrifying incident on January 2nd on Monday Night Football. He explained the nature of the cardiac arrest, one of those one in a million, one in a billion, whatever it is, hit at the exact wrong time that messed with his heart rate, and it needed to be restarted, obviously, and it saved his life. The Bills announced the safety was cleared for football activity, so the Bills are cool with it. Hamlin's cool with it. This would be one of the great comeback stories, and really not since Mark, let's see, what would it be, Alex Smith, would there be more of a slam dunk comeback player of the year than Damar Hamlin?
I mean, we're months removed from wondering, like, A, if he would survive, like, B, if he would live a normal life, and now we're here. And it would be incredible just to see him on the field, and I think you're right, that if you just pull the comeback player of the year odds off the table, because there's no second place opportunity for anyone to even survive in that contest.
I think it got kind of lost that he was an important player for them, like a good, young, improving safety. They did bring back Jordan Poyer this year, but like he'll have a big role on the team. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's going to be somehow like seeing him out there you'll have mixed feelings. Like you're just hoping for the best. You know, how can you not think about what happened? But all power to him that he wants to play. He's ready to play.
Absolutely. Best of luck to Damar Hamlin. That's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break and then welcome in Ben Solak.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because he didn't need it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Sexy. Asked our music department to pull up some Frank Ocean-like music. How are we doing over in the music department?
Well, I don't know how much they have to pick from, but they've made it a selection.
Joining us now is a man who knows his stuff. Here's the thing about our podcast. When we have a draft person on or someone that knows the draft, they are the real deal. So let's welcome in Ben Zolak of The Ringer, who does excellent work covering the league as a whole, but also just obviously a stud when it comes to the draft season. And we're going to get things going with Ben. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well. Greg, you're looking vibrant today. Just bright orange. Loving that.
Thank you. Yes. Still Hawaii in my mind, wearing still a nice dull sweatshirt. But thank you for pointing our listeners to the YouTube channel. I know you're a big YouTube star.
That's how you do
we're,
it.
We're trying to grow it
that's,
there.
That's
so
the
check out
way
my sweatshirt. Right.
Well, how did Dan and I look when you're in that front?
Largely muted, largely grayscale.
What is over your left shoulder right now? What does that say, Ben? Before we get into the outliers of the NFL draft.
Yeah, so that's my whiteboard. It goes up a lot. Like Greg said, I do a lot of shows for The Ringer, and the whiteboard always got a bid on it. And for the past month, it's been Anthony Richardson no matter what.
Ooh.
Which, when I wrote it, I didn't realize that Zoom was going to cut off Anthony Richardson most of the time. So I've been explaining this a lot. It's obviously a callback to the great Kevin Costner film Draft Day, and also my feelings on a top of the quarterback class.
Okay, so we're going to get to the draft stuff, but I want to start there because this continues to pop up. And I think maybe Ben, as someone who's active on social media and has a following, you are pushing this narrative that Draft Day is a good movie. Why are we doing this? Why are we pretending? Like, if we go back and watch that film.
I still haven't seen it. I got to check it out.
In which Jennifer Garner plays a capologist. Tell me that is a good movie, or just a movie that has football in its narrative structure and uses the real logos. That, to me, that's the only thing that movie really had going for it. Are you going to say that was a good film, Ben?
Absolutely not. Not a good film by any stretch of the imagination for 358 days of the year. Now, is it a nice centering experience to hear them, like, you know, make these, like, all of the memes, all of the tropes, right? Where it's like, ask me if anybody went to his birthday party. Oh, you should see how far he's throwing the ball. Like, it just reminds you that, yeah, everything we talk about in the NFL draft, if you were to just put it, like, get a third person view on it, you realize how bananas this entire process is, how all of this is contrived. It's all made up. And that's why Draft Day is fun to watch.
All right, maybe I'll revisit it. Let's wait.
But I want to know if Ben is aware, because Ben was probably 14 years old when it came out, that one of the three hosts here had a pull line used in the promotions the movie, and the line was full of heart from start to finish.
Hold on.
- Mark Sessler, and literally in the trailer of the movie.
Can I literally just give a little bit of backstory to this, because I had gone to see
history.
I had gone to see. I learned a great lesson, and as a younger person yourself, okay. I hope you would not fall into this trap based on this parable. But I was at my parents' house in South Carolina, and it was well into the evening, and had a couple of glasses of wine in me, and had at some point offered to give a review to the PR team of Draft Day. In short, they called me on the phone and I read something that I had written, which was a little too flowery and maybe a little too, like, they pulled one line out of it and suddenly it goes national with me glowing over Draft Day and I've never lived it down, so don't follow in my path.
By the way,
path.
Too long, didn't read. Mark was drunk when he gave that quote. Is that
heading
accurate?
Yeah. No, I would say heading there.
Appreciate the summarizing.
Yeah.
And I will say, I've said it before, we're going to get to it, but now we're on this Draft Day thing. We were there at Radio City Music Hall when they were shooting scenes for Draft Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the panic when they were looking for Frank Langella, who played, I think, the owner maybe of the team. And they're like,
Anthony
where's
Molina,
Frank?
The owner of the Browns. Come
yeah.
on.
Where's Frank? Where's Frank? And Frank Langella was wandering down Broadway, and they had to send a PA to track him down so they can get the shot before the draft started. A little inside baseball.
Imagine if they had not gotten that shot. Imagine.
Langella. All right. Enough of this.
Would have lost the whole show.
Let's get to it, Ben.
Should we start Richardson?
Yeah, we should.
He's like the only. He's yeah. the ultimate freak.
Anthony Richardson, no matter what, the Florida quarterback, and you are obviously, based on the whiteboard, a huge fan. One of the heaviest QBs ever to test at the combine and scored off the charts on all the measurables. And do you say, Ben, because of that, because he's such a athletic freak outlier, that you got to take a chance on this unicorn?
Yes, but also no. I think that the most important thing to say in the Richardson evaluation, when you talk about him, is that while he is a project, right, he does need development. He's got rough edges. He needs work. He is not nearly like the raw ball of clay, you know, a year away from being a year away. He's not that caliber project. There's shades of gray. We love to go like either a guy's a project or he's ready to play. And it would be nice if the world were that binary, but it isn't. When I look at like when Trey Lance came out of North Dakota State, he goes 3 overall. When I look at when Josh Allen comes out of Wyoming, he goes 7 overall. Those guys were doing fewer developed things as pocket passers than Anthony Richardson was. Richardson as one of the lowest sack rate quarterbacks to come out in recent years. He is unbelievable, like buying time in the pocket, finding a check down, getting rid of the football. This isn't like a crazy scrambler, make it all up, it's always backyard football. He does legitimate 202, 303 level things at the football field. He's only started 12 games, so he's not complete. There's inconsistency, there's easy mistakes, but it is not challenging to see the final form of this player in terms of the actual, like, you know, professional top button quarterback stuff. And then he's runs a 4.4 and he's 240 pounds. He can throw the ball 60 yards. And so now we're describing a truly elite ceiling. Not saying he's going to make it. Not saying he's going to be Josh Allen. But saying that the idea that, oh, if you take Anthony Richardson, you're going to lose all your games in 2023, and then maybe by 2024 he's ready. I don't subscribe to that. I see a player that going to need a little bit of time. The first couple starts are going to be rocky, but I could see you getting a functional NFL offense out of him very quickly.
And you guessed it with Danny Kelly on the PFF mock draft. And you had the number one overall pick for the Panthers, and you boldly just took Anthony Richardson and mentioned a lot of the stuff that you just did. I do wonder, though, because Bryce Young obviously is another outlier in terms of his size, his weight, and how you project that over the course of time in terms of durability. When you made that pick in that situation, when your mindset, is it pro Anthony Richardson, or is it also mixed with concern as if in that case the general manager, a coach, taking on the Bryce Young project beyond the stuff you like about him?
Yeah, it's a mix. It certainly is. The way I like to talk about Bryce Young is this. I love watching him play. Great player. Awesome dude. He's an inspiration. He's sick. He's so much fun. Can't wait to watch him play for somebody else. I'm so excited to root for him when somebody else takes the swing on the 5'10", 200-pound quarterback.
Do you feel awkward as a slighter, shorter man to talk about a prospect that way?
Extremely so. I did our big Bryce Young scouting report video for The Ringer this week, and literally in the top minute, I go, now I understand if people are frustrated about a person my size complaining about Bryce Young's size, because it really does feel like a very small pot calling a larger kettle black. But that's the reality of it is I'm not trying to play the NFL. He is, right? And for Young, the size in terms of shortness is a concern. Ability to see over the middle of the field, the way it affects his dropbacks. The size in terms of slightness is a concern. The durability, the hits. He plays a style of ball that invites a ton of contact. And you have to be concerned about the body armor, the durability, how long he can sustain his level of play, 5, 6, 7 years. I think that like Young has already succeeded from an outlier perspective in his size by playing as well as he did in the SEC. Like he's already shown that he can handle it, and he can get it done. He can achieve at this lower size at the college level. Now he's got to do it again at the pro level, where everything gets ratcheted up a couple notches. It's a very, very thin eye of the needle that you're trying to thread. To me, I don't know if I'd want to make the pick.
Right, and it sounds like he's got to go first, and they're not going to be that worried about it. And he did take lots of hits in the SEC, but to stick with Richardson, one last thing is, like, I don't think he's been overhyped. Like, I've been getting some grief on Twitter that I have a type in terms of quarterback prospects. It's like, there is no other type that's like Anthony Richardson coming out in the draft. Cam Newton is the only one that could compare physically in terms of what he can be as an athlete, but he might have the best pocket presence in this class, and so that's why he doesn't seem like he's that big of a risk. I think he has a high floor. Maybe he doesn't have – and he has a high ceiling too, and maybe he doesn't reach that, but his like – inaccuracy doesn't seem that bad to me. They were just throwing down the field, and for the most part, he was accurate enough. And my type is like athletes, but it's also pocket presence. Like, Phillip Rivers is my favorite quarterback just about over the last 20 years because he has insane pocket presence. And Richardson has that, which is like, you kind of can't teach that. He moves around and makes time in the pocket. So that's like two things. To me, it's hard to imagine having those two things and not succeeding. And he's the ultimate freak. He would be the most fun person to have in your team. That's all.
Mark?
Absolutely, I would agree with you.
Oh, I didn't know if you had.
Oh, I have someone that I have been fascinated with, and I heard you talk about him a little bit. It's Darnell Washington. When we talk about a physical freak, 6'7", 264, and just when to watch some of his tape, just the way he appears next to other human beings, even very large human beings on the field. I guess the question is, because there's no doubt that like he would absolutely be a tantalizing idea for scouts, for coaches, and what you might turn him into. Do you think that he can come in and be highly productive as a pass catcher after what you've seen of his college tape?
Not in year one, because right now Washington is a guy that in order to produce, you have to funnel him targets. You have to choose to throw him the football. He's really good yards after the catch, right? He's really good turning a shallow pass into a big long run. In terms of his route tree, in terms of how he addresses the ball downfield, he's in need of development. The reason's because Georgia had him and Brock Bowers, who, if you don't watch college football, Brock, man, Brock's about as good as it gets for a college tight end. He's unbelievable. He's going to go very, very high next year. And so they let Brock be the receiving tight end, and then Washington would stay in and block, and occasionally they'd leak him out, use him on play action, and then he'd get a catch here, a catch there, become a stampeding Tyrannosaurus Rex after the catch. But it's not like he just got a ton of reps and a ton of opportunity to develop in terms of a true pass catcher. So if you draft Washington early on to get him to produce in the passing game, you have to decide, okay, we're running a Darnell Washington play. Hopefully, over the time he plays in the NFL, being a plus blocker for you, he's a weapon in the running game, so he can lead block, right? He can be impactful in space. And then with those catches that he gets in the design game, he starts to grow his route tree more downfield, more mature route tree that you tend to see from NFL tight ends. And now you got a stew going. I mean, now you're cooking with about as complete of a tight end as you can get. He's very, very exciting. I'm increasingly becoming accustomed to the idea of him going at the back end of round one. I think if you talked to me like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said, no, I don't think it's happening. The closer we get, the more it seems like there's a couple chances for him to go late round one. I think by pick 50, he's gone.
Well, you brought up, you know, his playing time, and you kind of have to look deeper when you look at that Georgia roster, like why you're not getting them any snaps. And so when I think freaks or size outliers, like they have two more in this draft that we could talk about. Nolan Smith, to me, is like a prototype that we really don't have in the NFL. Maybe it's Hassan Reddick. Maybe the way that defenses are now playing like five defensive linemen, essentially like five-man fronts at the same time, and the fifth guy is like sort of defensive lineman, but not really, and that's Hassan Reddick. That could be Nolan Smith, who just seems like an insane pass rusher, but is just incredibly light. And then also you have Jalen Carter as your number one overall player. And he's a freak in terms of his talent, in terms of what he can do at that size. And we haven't really talked about Carter that much other than the off-field stuff. So I guess between those two, I'd love to hear like why you do have Carter first and kind of taking away the off-field stuff, because he's also a guy that hasn't ever played more than 400 snaps in a season, which is wild for a guy who was the presumptive number one overall pick. Like, why would he be that high without seeing him on the field as much as you would want in Georgia?
Yeah.
I'm just like moving my hands around a lot. I'm just...
There's no way to talk without hands. It's never been done before.
Greg's like a 74-year-old Sicilian grandmother, like in the kitchen. Yeah. Go ahead.
Nah. my family is Russian, right? Russian immigrants, and just always everything. And so all the time I'm on pods and you're hearing snapping and clapping in the background because it's me imitating my mother. Carter and Nolan Smith, man, I don't know what they feed him in Georgia. It's unbelievable. I like when you talk to college people who like look at recruiting, they say the biggest difference between Kirby and at Georgia, Nick Saban at Alabama, is Saban kind of recruits guys, okay, like good height, weight, speed, and then we can add mass to them, we can develop them. Kirby just drafts guys who just move differently than everybody else moves. He just scours the country, finds the 10 guys who can't teach it, and gets them all in a Bulldogs uniform. So with Nolan Smith, this is the sort of body type and athletic profile that years ago was going to be carrying 230 pounds, was going to be playing wide receiver. Instead, now he's carrying 240 pounds, and he's playing pass rusher. The enthusiasm that this young man has for defending the run at this size is really sick. I mean, it's awesome to see. And it gives you hope that he's going to be able to hang on the edge of the NFL level. You bring up Hassan Reddick, Uchenna Nwosu, who longtime Charger now with the Seahawks, is another example of he's going to stand up. He's going to line up super wide away from the tackle. He's going to be an impactful pass rusher. Can he stay on the field for all three downs? Can you put him on the field on first and 10? That's the big question with him. And with the way he plays the run in the SEC, I think you can, but I'd be holding my breath. I mean, really, those first couple weeks watching him in training camp, you're really hoping that he's got that stuff. He's going to be at about a 80-pound deficiency to the guys he's playing in the running game. So it's scary, but he's got encouraging film. With Carter, the rotation at Georgia is partly a result of how well they recruit. It's also part of the recruiting process. They are willing to get young players on the field. We're willing to put really talented freshmen, redshirt freshmen, sophomores on the field. And accordingly, you kind of get some of these low snap counts. It doesn't bother me too much with him. Carter's the sort of guy where, you know, you watch him for about 5-10 plays, you go, oh yeah, no, 310 pounders don't move like this. This isn't real. This is a figment. This has been doctored. This is AI footage. It's Ndamukong Suh-esque, in my opinion. I've heard Fletcher Cox. I think that's a warranted comparison as well. This is a guy with double-digit sack potential from the interior. Yeah, conditioning is going to be a question in year one, but if I'm taking him top three, top five, top 10, I'm trying to maximize his role in my defense such that, yeah, if he needs some time off in year one, I'll give him that time off in year one to ensure he's the force he can be on third down. So I'm not too concerned about the volume.
Let's circle back, because everything with this draft, and we talk about the outliers, the freaks of the draft. This draft, small, it's going to be a short number one pick. You got short arms, you got smallish wide receivers, but let's talk, Ben, the short king, Deuce Vaughn, running back,
hero.
Kansas State, 5'5". Greggy, 5'5", Greggy, you got him. The shortest dude ever measured at the combine. MJD, one of the great running backs of the aughts, also NFL employee here now, has him as his number fourth ranked running back prospect. What do you think of
MJD, who they rounded up to 5'7" or so? So
right, there's something there.
Well, and Ben,
but also weighed about 30 more pounds coming out.
Ben's friend and coworker Danny Kelly called this player MJD with a tapeworm. So ooh, there is some connective tissue.
So let's talk about our short king out of Kansas State.
He is a delightful young player. He's quick as a wink. He's tough as nails. He's actually really good in pass protection because he's naturally predisposed to chopping blitzers. He's a great cut block player because he can't really be much of anything else. So he's actually really good in pass protection. I think there's a way that he's a special teams player. I'm not sure that he's got runaway speed such that, like, you know, he's going to be like a truly impactful returner. But he's tough, he's physical, and he can hang. He can definitely make guys miss. You are very limited in terms of what you can run with him as a true running back because he's just not going to be able to break the number of tackles that you need him to in the first level. It's really hard to get him to run between the tackles consistently at the NFL. So I'm sadly out on our short king, Deuce Vaughn. However, I do find Deuce Vaughn a delightful player. He's very fun to watch. I'm going to remember his college career fun.
You just put another chip on his shoulder.
It feels
well,
like
small but broad
have
shoulders.
Have you looked in the mirror and just thought, like, you know, you've been down on some of these shorter, smaller guys. Is there something you need to work out, you know, in terms of, like, is it coming from the inside, you know?
Short king on short king violence here.
That he just likes the big guys. I'm trying to say be proud. Like, I love me some Tank Dell. I like some of these smaller receivers.
Well, I think
let's
raise
them up. Let's lift them up, Ben, instead of trying to hold them down. Football's for big guys.
Let's bring this up on the screen here. And this was a tweet that you responded to the other day. Someone explain this, Ben. Someone's coming at you in this time of year when you're obviously putting a ton of work in about your actual playing history, and you swatted them down.
Yeah, the folks like to say all the time this guy's never played a snap of football in his life, which means that they haven't watched 5th and 6th grade Stroudsburg High School football anytime recently. I was the starting slot back. Thank you very much. We were in a practice in 7th grade before the season started, and future first-round pick of the Colorado Rockies, Mikey Nikorak, who's our quarterback, hit me in an Oklahoma drill. He's a quarterback now. Hit me in an Oklahoma drill and left an indent in the turf where my body landed. I distinctly remember looking up into the sky and going, yeah, marching band, I think, is probably – that's where you're marching band and cross country. The move.
That's all good. Mark's Pop Warner days have floated our show for years. We've always needed that. Like, what are our bona fides? Like, Mark played in –
Pop Warner, I played in the backfield, and if I were not roughly 20 years older than Ben, we might have faced each other on the field. I wanted one of those fields, but
absolutely, yeah. It's I love the you never played. It's like, yeah, man, like everyone knows you're not. Like, nobody was watching my stuff, going, well, this guy definitely played in college, and they saw your tweet, and they were like, wait a minute, no, he didn't. Like, you're not breaking any news.
Do you have a favorite of those small receivers? Do you, any of that you like? Because you mentioned, that I think there's 9 that are under 180 pounds in this draft, which is just crazy. And there's guys like Tank Dell, who's probably going to be a day 2 pick, but, you know, which is like 165, which is just another level.
Yeah, if I can sneak Zay Flowers in there, the young man at Boston College is 182. Love a Zay Flowers. That's an explosive player with a lot of deep potential. I think Zay's going to go earlier than people think. I think Zay's got a good chance to be wide receiver 1, depending on where Smith and Jigba goes.
Wow.
League likes him a lot. The Patriots have met Zay Flowers' third cousins at this point. Mm. Like, the Patriots scouting staff has just lived with Zay Flowers for the last month. It seems like he's a legit option there in the teens. And then if we go true under 180, Josh Downs out of UNC is really fun. It's always cool to see a smaller receiver be really, really effective in contested catch situations, which is what he is. He's got a great knack. He's got a great eye for the ball. Very, very shifty. He's just a slot. They're just all slots at the NFL level. And the slot position is moving away from small, speedy guys, and it's moving towards big guys who can contribute in the blocking game and can contribute in the running game. And so it's just harder to find homes for these dudes than it was 5-10 years ago.
One little note on Zay Flowers. Today, he is actually working out with Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs brought him in for that specific reason. I know they'd have to move around to get him, but that would be juicy.
Indeed.
Oh, I love it.
And we'll end things with this, a tweet from earlier today from Benjamin Solak, where you could follow him on Twitter. Day 1 of the 2023 NFL draft is in 8 days, and I think I could better predict the first 5 picks of the 2024 draft than I could the 2023 draft. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like, I the drafts are, you could kind of nail the top 10 or get close to it. Not as compelling to me as these wide open years. So it will be fun, Ben, to see how it all plays out.
That's the sentiment of somebody who does not attempt to bet on the NFL draft right there.
Exactly.
Those of us on my side of the line, I really like those ones where you can figure out what's going on in the top 10.
I do like that. And I do like you said to me, like, we've now reached that point of the draft process. You put a moratorium on new draft takes. No more new draft takes.
There you go.
Everything has been said, and now we just kind of ride out the next 9 days. Nothing new.
Yeah. Anybody who's dropping I think X could Y on April 15th, you're just bored. You're just bored and out of stuff. Time to stop. We've done enough. Let's see what happens.
Ben, thank you for joining us, buddy. And everybody follow Ben on his NFL stuff, his draft stuff, at The Ringer, of course, and The Ringer NFL Show on Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcast. Ben, thank you very much, bud.
Appreciate it, fellas. Big
fan. See you, Ben.
Thank you.
There he goes. Good stuff from Benjamin Solak. All right, one more break, and then we'll finish up the show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, we're back.
You know, we've been like doing this show a while when, people we have on were in their teens when draft day came out. I don't really know that, but that would be my guess. I don't know where he's at. I think mid-20s.
He's 26, I believe.
Let's just say Ben is most likely younger than us and perhaps significantly so. But he knows his stuff and, there are people that will, and speaking of which, here's a plug. Mark, you have your mock draft coming up. Justin Graver, our producer, kind of put his made his big arrival at the draft last year in terms of our universe.
Absolutely, yeah.
By competing with his own mock draft that he really did well.
Yes.
And now what we have here, Greggy, and they are different sports, but there's a bit of a magic bird thing going on here now between Graver and Sessler in terms of the mock draft coming up this next week, so I'm magic very
bird.
Excited.
I don't know if I'm magic or bird in that scenario, but if magic or if one of the two were massively detached from the pending
books,
results, that
books
would be
will be
that
written
would be
about
myself.
This. Documentaries made. It's definitely missing, you know, kind of one component, which I think was a factor in the whole magic bird thing. Right. The racial
God-given talent
not here, but you know, or the any talent, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Yes, we're missing the racial component of this
just saying
mock
that really
draft rivalry.
Took the most good comment. Took it to another level.
Yes, Justin.
I have been putting a lot of pressure on myself to actually do well this year because I feel like I did pretty well last year. You know, 10 team player matches would have tied for first, according to the Huddle report that grades all the mock drafts.
Humble brag.
But now I'm like, if I don't live up to those expectations I've set for myself, I'm going to be very disappointed. And it's an unpredictable draft, so... We'll
as someone who I think nailed maybe one pick last year, I will tell you that you'll wake up the next day and life continues to forge
but
on.
You've said, Mark, I don't know if this is still the case a few weeks later, that you've been reinvigorated by the draft process this year, which makes me think you might be ready to deliver your masterpiece.
I will. I could say that I think that, as Ben was saying, this is the if Ben Solak has done thousands of hours of work and does not believe he could even do a better mock than just simply guessing next year's draft – I think that's an ominous roadmap for myself attempting the same process. But I think that also says anyone can, like my mom could do one of these and probably get in the top five thing of this little
thing. You just gave me another idea.
Yeah. We had my mom
can
do
we get your mom to do a
absolutely.
Mock draft?
Absolutely.
It would seem like the harder thing or the more useful thing.
I think it's for my mom.
would be knowing which players are going to be good at football at the NFL level. But you can't really do that. Immediately after the draft, you can't really. No one knows who is actually good at doing that.
They don't know.
So Graver wins.
They don't know. I'm going to be kept up at night about the missing racial component of the mock draft.
I'm just saying you're expecting it to take off. That's sort of the unsaid right. Larry, you know, Bird magic thing.
Right.
I don't think it would have taken off in the same way.
Two whites takes away some sizzle here. Hey, speaking of which, I got a big announcement.
What date? What day are we dropping your mock, by the way? Do we have a plan for that?
I'd love Wednesday? To know. I'd also love to know the answer.
How about
to
next
that.
Week? The whites are at it
what
again.
What day next week? Later in the week. Let's go later
obviously.
In the week,
obviously.
next Monday?
No. Next later.
Next
in the
Wednesday?
Week. Sure.
That's the latest we can go.
I think went right up to the edge is when we do it, because there's all new right. information coming in, new scouting.
Oh, because you do it like the Mayock version, where it's like, I'm not with all these, the riffraff, I give you one mock draft, and that's all you get.
There's no
2.0, 3.0, 4.0.
No point anything. Like, it just,
I think traditionally
no
we've done it on Wednesdays.
Yeah, we'll do Wednesday. Okay.
And big announcement.
Because I always remember draft day, you're like, oh, things have already changed. My mock's all messed up. Oh, this is,
he does care. I like that you do care, Mark.
Yeah. Greg is like a little dog, like biting at your ankle as you're just attempting to just do your
Can
thing.
Can you just shut up? Big announcement on the draft. We've been teasing this, and now here it is. Do we have the horns? Do we have the... medieval times or the height of the English Empire. Yeah. Some call it a fallen empire now, but listen, we have a huge overseas fan base, so we would never say that.
We don't reference them that way.
We will be doing a live stream of the 2023 first round NFL draft from the NFL media headquarters here. Live YouTube stream. We will be on camera. This feels like a mistake. We'll be on camera for all 3+ hours of the first round, chopping it up, discussing the different moves, the picks, the trades. We'll have, obviously, if you're familiar at all with the Friday Fun Show, we'll have a comment section. We'll have we'll interface with our listeners/viewers, as well as other fun things to come, which we should be planning. Post haste, but that will be a component
some
as
guests,
well.
Hopefully, will be coming
some guests
in,
dropping by,
sitting
if
with
we
us.
Can,
it's kind of like a hang. It's a hang. Like we still got anyone who's the audio only. We're still doing the podcast afterwards, recapping round one as we would always do. And if you wanted to check out the YouTube, it's gonna be best live. But I think it'll be up there on YouTube after the fact too. So you can just rewatch it over and over and over.
And Mark, people say this is revolutionary. No one's ever done this before—a live stream. And that's just what we are. We're innovators.
I think from a technological angle, we've always been aggressive, and this is another example of that.
It's like, have you ever wondered what it'd be like to just hang out with us as we watch the draft?
No, they're just like regular guys. It's like hanging out with guys at the bar.
That's
talking
the show
football.
Right there.
That's the show.
Do we do the thing now where we brag about not going to the men's room the entire time? We just sit in the chairs for three hours?
No, I will be using the lavatory multiple times.
Okay.
So many times. Come
so
and go,
many times.
As we please.
See, that's one of the things about Dan when you watch games with him. You're just like, what is
Where's
happening?
Where's Dan? He missed the entire third quarter.
Irish goodbying.
He had halftime, and he's still gone. Is he okay? That's what separates our show. We're in the bathroom all the time.
It's very different.
It would be it would be
guys,
a lot of fun.
It's like they're just buddies. It's like that's the show. It's
too many drops at this point. We haven't done this though. It will be a fun time to hang. I am looking forward to it.
Here's my pitch to the audience, because we really want you to join us, the listeners. It could be really good and fun. It could be really bad also.
Yeah, what if we get like 38 minutes in and we realize this is Ishtar? This is a complete
That's what
total
I mean.
Flop.
Like, if
right.
we're all of a sudden doing our version of draft day, we're in. Yeah, and you get to see that.
Although it could be like Dan's surprise birthday party that Emily threw. Dan could just be like, no, we're ending this.
Can we do deuces if we don't like the flow?
Like, I think so.
I don't know if you get to do that. A pandemic Zoom
decide.
Call you can parachute out?
It's not on NFL Now or anything like, or NFL Plus or anything. So it's like we're running.
It's
it.
Our call.
That could be part of the dramatic tension. Will we get to hour three?
I do like that. The shadowy league figures seem somewhat invested. Oh, here it is. Look at this from April 8th, 2014, Draft Day's official Twitter account. I wonder if that still exists. Draft Day movie. I guess it does. Mark Sessler, NFL : # Draft Day. Delivers on the great tension
Wait,
of the NFL draft.
Oh, there's full of our
Get your ticks. Boom.
What a disaster.
I am absolutely retweeting this with no context.
And there it
what
is.
What a disaster.
Full of heart from start
do not Greg?
To finish. Mark Sessler, NFL.com, around the league.
That was the beginning of my break with Twitter, roughly a decade ago.
Wait, when is it? Are you broken? You're
no,
still
I mean, just
together.
Like, I lost interest in it, and it was because of that and the resulting. So thanks for retweeting that, Greg, if you're going to be finding that right now. Appreciate that.
Is it what happens to these Twitter handles when the movie's long gone? I guess it just – oh, man, Dennis Leary was terrible in this movie.
Got to still be there.
They've got a retweet of Rich who had
Garner the Capologist. Oh, they put P. Diddy in it. What a mess. Anyway, all right.
Was meant to be the Bills before the Browns.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. The other thing is, how could you ever get behind – as a sports fan, any movie that opens with – the Seattle Seahawks, defending Super Bowl champions, have the number one overall pick. Get out of here.
Yeah, there were some errors.
What are we doing here?
I'm going to find this. There is a column somewhere on NFL.com where, Dan, you and I both gave our viewpoints on it. And I know that you've recently come down so hard on it. I want to go back and see what you wrote because I thought you were a little bit closer to the middle. And I will... I'll drum up my results.
Perhaps a little closer. It was NFL.com.
It was a fresh review.
I remember our boss at the time was very pointed in, hey, you can't kill the movie.
Sort of an absurd like written product if we can't give an actual review. But.
If we could track that down, if you read that back and forth, because you weren't over the moon about the movie until you had the glasses of wine.
No, but it's been advertised as if I consider it to be like Apocalypse Now or something, which is not the case.
No, Greg, the Seattle Seahawks in the film are the defending Super Bowl champions, as I think they were in real life at the time.
I see.
And then they were like, they had the number one overall pick.
Well, I mean, the Seahawks have the number five pick here after the first round.
I'm just saying that. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the sport.
Bit of a stretch.
Anyway, all right, that's it. Anything else? Live stream next Thursday night.
Huge. Mega.
Mega. 8 p.m. Eastern or something like that. Be there. Seriously, be there. And heed the call.
Is never too old to rave in the desert with Blackpink. Doesn't know what a Blackpink is, but that's not gonna stop them, baby! Need someone to hold this camera so we can get a good pic in front of the giant Ferris wheel. We'll be at the Mojave stage if you need us.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss in the land of saints and sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the land of saints and sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.